Well, it is it's good to be back with you. I'm very thankful for Bill Bosley and Pastor Bud filling the pulpit for the last couple of weeks. If you didn't know, 2 weeks ago, I was hiking across the Grand Canyon. And so, and then when I came back, I promptly had my head examined because I entered into the north rim of the Grand Canyon and walked all the way across 25 miles. It's a mile down, it's a mile up, and a lot of miles in between. So, but it was an incredible trip, and very thankful that I survived. Jan was happy I survived. It was a great trip. If you would like, if you're interested, the same group is going again next year, and would be happy to point you in their direction. Highly recommend them. Last week I was up at Trinity Community Church in Harrisville, where I preached the sermon that morning, and then conducted their annual charge conference. Now, if you don't know what a charge conference is, a charge conference is the annual meeting of a Methodist church. And there's a couple things legally that we have to do every year. And it's there to kind of chart the course for the coming year. Concord's charge conference is scheduled for November 16th at 7 p.m. And so if you're interested in being a part of our charge conference, you can come out and be a part of that. But today we're continuing our journey through Colossians, where we will be unpacking chapter 3, verses 1 to 14. And so let's start by reading our scripture today. Since you have been raised to a new life with Christ, set your sights on the reality of heaven, where Christ sits in the place of honor at God's right hand. Think about the things of heaven, not the things of earth. For you died to this life, and your real life is hidden with Christ in God. And when Christ, who is your life, is revealed to the whole world, you will share in his glory. The word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God. Now, Paul, what Paul is saying here, he is not saying that we should never think about the things here on earth, but that the things here are not our aim. They're not our goal, and they're not our master. That the Christian has to keep his feet on earth, but his or her head in the heavens. He or she must be heavenly minded here on earth, so to help make earth more like heaven. Now that word think in verse 2 is the Greek word phroneo, and it means to be minded about things above. And the term implies a lot more than simple thinking. It involves values and loves as well. And so what Paul is saying is that we should delight in things above, right? We should rejoice in things above. In another one of his letters, Paul fleshes out what it means to delight in things above. Philippians chapter 4, verse 8 says, "Brothers and sisters, whatever is true, whatever is noble, whatever is right, whatever is pure, whatever is lovely, whatever is admirable, if anything is excellent or praiseworthy, think about these things." You know, a pastor that I had when I was growing up, up in Erie, Pastor George, he always called them warm fuzzies and cold pricklies. You know, like the warm fuzzy, it's like having a dog curl up next to you, you know? There's always something special about being in a room and the dog choosing you to come over and sit next to. Cold prickly is like having a porcupine come and cozy up next to you. You know, which one would you choose? You know, oddly enough, my first church, I had a porcupine walk into this church. I was sitting in my office, my door looked out over the narthex, and I see this porcupine come strolling in. Much would have rather seen a dog. A dog would have been far easier to get out of the church than a porcupine. The porcupine did eventually get outside, but yes. You know, if you're a certain age, you might remember a TV commercial where a person holds up an egg and says, "This is your brain." And then breaks the egg into a hot skillet and says, "This is your brain on drugs." You know, Paul is saying the exact same thing, that this is your life when your eye is on God. Right? We are thinking about things above. We are delighting, rejoicing in those things. And this is when it's not. Right? When we don't have those things in front of us. And our scripture continues. It says, "So put to death the sinful, earthly things lurking within you. Have nothing to do with sexual immorality or impurity, lust, and evil desires. Don't be greedy, for a greedy person is an idolater, worshiping the things of this world. Because of these sins, the anger of God is coming. You used to do these things when your life was still a part of this world." You know, these are the sins that no one really sees. They're all inside sins. Nobody is able to see the things that are lurking within us. And it's all about what I want to do, what I can do. It's my choice, after all, so what does it really matter? A commentator I read this week said that the individual who commits these sins thinks more of himself than he does of others. These sins, right, sexual immorality, impurity, lust, evil desires, greed, these sins ruin relationships and contribute to autonomy, which is the anti-God spirit. And they represent a lack of self-control. These all characterize the old self, and they characterize a worldly way of living. And Paul says, this is not the way we do things. This is not how we are called to live, because we have been changed by the power of Christ. And since we have been raised to a new life with Christ, we need to set our realities on heaven. We need to orient ourselves. We need to think about those things so that we're not thinking about these things. Right? We're called to fly. We're called to be different. Called to be a warm fuzzy, not cold pricklies. You know, Paul continues in Colossians 3. He says, "But now is the time to get rid of all of this anger and rage, malicious behavior, slander, and dirty language. Don't lie to one another, for you have stripped off your old sinful nature and all its wicked deeds. Put on your new nature, which has been renewed as you learn about your Creator and become like Him." In this new life, it doesn't matter whether you are a Jew or Gentile, circumcised or uncircumcised, barbaric, uncivilized, slave or free. Christ is all that matters, and He lives in all of us. And it almost sounds like Paul's repeating himself, because he just talked about this group of sins and he's like, stop it. But there's an important distinction between that list and this list. You know, that list was a sin of all these things that we hide inside of us, that people don't see. These sins are outward sins, and these are sins that others can see. These are things that other people experience. This new life that we are being called to live, this difference that we are called to live out, is a collective life together. Right? We are not Lone Ranger Christians. We do this life together. And so that anger and that rage and that bitterness and those lying, they hurt the relationships. They destroy what we are called to be. You know, Acts chapter 2 talks about the first century church and how they relied upon one another. They met together, they ate together, they learned together, they helped one another out. And because of the way that they lived together, Scripture records that the Lord added to their number daily those who were being saved. You know, changing the way that we live can be hard, right? It's the difference between learning to walk when you're so used to crawling. That was an incredible illustration. Thank you, Pastor Bud. You know, we want to live, we are called to live a new way. And it is so easy for us to fall backwards. You know what the number one reason why most missionaries leave the mission field? Other missionaries. You would think that these people who have given of themselves to go out onto the mission field, you know, not that we have hierarchy, but you think, gosh, they're super Christians, you know? Like, those people really are giving it their all. And they still have trouble with each other. They still have interpersonal struggles. I wasn't sure about it. I Googled it, and it came out true. The number one reason why most missionaries leave the mission field isn't raising money. It isn't being persecuted on the mission field. It's the people they work with, the people they do ministry with. The way that we live out our faith matters. If we cannot be loving and caring and kind to the people we go church with, why would anybody want to come to church? Why would God add to our number if we're not putting on this new way of life, where we are considerate and kind and loving and promote one another? And this isn't about masking our true nature, right? This isn't about us, you know, putting on deodorant so that we don't offend the people around us by the stench of our sinfulness. This is Paul saying, this is your new nature. You are changed. You have been changed by the life-transforming power of Jesus Christ. I mean, don't get me wrong. Please continue to wear deodorant, but be transformed. Be different. You have been chosen. You are loved. You have been purchased. You can be different now. You can be the person that God has created you to be. And Paul closes out our section of Scripture with these words. Since God chose you to be the holy people he loves, you must clothe yourselves with tender-hearted mercy, with kindness, humility, gentleness, and patience. Make allowance for each other's faults. And forgive anyone who offends you. Remember, the Lord forgave you, so you must forgive others. Above all, clothe yourselves with love, which binds us all together in perfect harmony. You know, when Paul tells us that we are to put on these new clothes, there is a tension that we must deal with. And the tension is between our position in Christ, right? Who we are, that we are saved, that because of Jesus we can say we're 100% sure that we're going to go to heaven when we die, and our practice, how we live out our faith, how we live differently. The Christian is a new person, but we also must learn to live like it. And we're going to be covering more about that next week. Paul really begins to flesh that out in practical ways in chapter 3, beginning with verse 15. And we're going to be going through chapter 4, verse 1, as we look at what it means to be a redeemed community. But I want to close with this thought from verse 14. Paul says this, above all, Clothe yourselves with love, which binds us all together in perfect harmony. You know, Paul singles out this one characteristic above all others, love. The term chosen is the most frequent in the New Testament, agape love. And it consistently describes God's love as well as the love Christians should have for God, for the world, and for each other. This means that mutual love, how we love God, we love the world, and we love one another, this is what is going to draw us to perfection. Can you imagine the type of impact that this kind of church would have in a community? All of the arguments people make about being a part of the church or organized religion would disappear. It sounds an awful lot like the call Jesus said to us to deny ourselves and to take up our cross and to follow after him. The choice to love one another as he has loved us. The church in action. Let us pray. Gracious God, thank you for your wonderful love for us. And thank you, because of your love, you tell us to be different. You don't simply allow us to be our cold, prickly selves, but rather, you call us to live differently, and you call us to live a warm, fuzzy kind of life, kind of life that invites others, kind of life that honors you, kind of life that makes a difference in the world that surrounds us. Help us with this, dear Jesus, we pray. Amen.